Way of the Lawless by Max Brand. Chapter 1. Beside the rear window of the blacksmith shop, Jasper Lanning held his withered arms folded against his chest. With the dispassionate eye and the aching heart of an artist, he said to himself that his life work was a failure. That life work was the young fellow who swung the sledge at the forge, and truly it was a strange product for this 70-year-old veteran with his slant oriental eyes and his narrow beard of white. Andrew Lanning was not even his son. But it came about in this way that Andrew became the life work of Jasper. 15 years before, the father of Andy died, and Jasper rode out of the mountain desert like a hawk dropping out of the pale blue sky. He buried his brother without a tear, and then sat down and looked at the slender child who bore his name. Andy was a beautiful boy. He had the black hair and eyes, the well-made jaw, and the bone of the Lannings. And if his mouth was rather soft and girlish, he laid the failing to the weakness of childhood. Jasper had no sympathy for tenderness in men. His own life was as littered with hard deeds as the side of a mountain with boulders. But the black, bright eyes and the well-made jaw of little Andy laid hold on him, and he said to himself, "I'm 55. I'm about through with my saddle days. I'll settle down and turn out one piece of work that'll last after I'm gone, and last with my signature on it." That was 15 years ago, and for 15 years he had labored to make Andy a man according to a grim pattern which was known in the Lanning clan and elsewhere in the mountain desert. His program was as simple as the curriculum of a Persian youth. On the whole, it was even simpler, for Jasper concentrated on teaching the boy how to ride and shoot, and was not at all particular that he should learn to speak the truth. But on the first two and greatest articles of his creed, how Jasper labored. For 15 years he poured his heart without stint into his work. He taught Andy to know a horse from hock to teeth, and to ride anything that wore hair. He taught him to know a gun as if it were a sentient thing. He taught him all the draws of old and new pattern, and labored to give him both precision and speed. That was the work of 15 years, and now, at the end of this time, the old man knew that his life work was a failure, for he had made the hand of Andrew Lanning cunning, had given his muscles strength, but the heart beneath was wrong. It was hard to see Andy at the first glance. A film of smoke shifted and eddied through the shop, and Andy, working the bellows, was a black form against the square of the door, a square filled by the blinding white of the alkali dust in the road outside and the blinding white of the sun above. Andy turned from the forge, bearing in his tongs a great bar of iron, black at the ends but white in the middle. The white place was surrounded by a sparkling radiance. Andy caught up the 8-pound hammer, and it rose and fell lightly in his hand. The sparks rushed against the leather apron of the hammer wielder, and as the blows fell, rapid waves of light were thrown against the face of Andrew. Looking at that face, one wondered how the life work of Jasper was such a failure. For Andy was a handsome fellow, with his blue-black hair and his black, rather slanting eyes, after the Lanning manner. Yet Jasper saw, and his heart was sick. The face was a little too full. The square bone of the chin was rounded with flesh, and above all, the mouth had never changed. It was the mouth of the child, soft, too womanly soft, and Jasper blinked. When he opened his eyes again, the white place on the iron had become a dull red, and the face of the blacksmith was again in shadow. All Jasper could see was the body of Andy, and that was much better. Red light glinted on the sinewy arms and the swaying shoulders, and the hammer swayed and fell tirelessly. For 15 years, Jasper had consoled himself with the strength of the boy.